Hey, will you welcome all those who are online this morning? Welcome everyone who's joined us right now. We love you guys. So great to see you. So wonderful to see you. Have a seat, please. Have a seat. My name is Pastor Nathan. I'm just so thankful to have you here, and we hope you feel right at home. And, you know, here's a couple things I want you to know about RCC. One thing is that people are continuing to give their life to God here through what is happening here. And I'm just excited because we had a couple people get baptized, a couple of young people get baptized, Michaela and Reagan last week. Can we give it up for God and what he's doing in their life? Isn't that awesome? Also, I want to encourage you with this, and that is we've been pushing hard for this food drive, and we've been asking, hey, bring in the peanut butter, bring in the spaghetti sauce, bring in all those products, canned chicken, and I want to give you an update on how well RCC has done. So far, we have brought in over 310 jars of spaghetti, we brought in over 350 cans of chicken, and 310 jars of spaghetti sauce. That is 3 months' supply right there for the Father's Heart Ministry. Give it up. And so I'm excited about that because that helps the needy right here in our community. So you guys are still bringing it in, and I want to thank God for that. Also, if you're a first-time guest, we just want to say we're thankful to have you, and we got a little present for you right here. And please pick up one of these and at the Welcome Center afterward. If you're a first-time guest, please go to the Welcome Center, and you too, RCC, could have one for only 3 easy payments of $19.99, all right? Actually, it's $5, all right? So $5, you want one, you can get one of these. So we are just thankful for how God is growing our church, and we want to say a big just welcome and help you feel right at home if this is your first time. You know, right now, we are in our daily Bible reading, and I'm preaching out of it every week. And I want to tell you a story about a guy who came upon a scene, an accident scene, and he shows up and he sees this woman who's working on the guy who's hurt in the automobile accident. Obviously, she got there ahead of him. She's working on the guy, and he's badly hurt. But he kind of barges in, pushes her out of the way, and he just says this. He just says, hey, I have first aid training, so please get out of the way. And he starts working on the guy, and the woman gets up, and she kind of stands off to the side, and she says to him, okay, so that part when it gets to your first aid training, you know, to call a doctor, I want you to know I'm standing right here. And the reality is that God has put all kinds of people in our life, and a lot of times we take it for granted, don't we? We take people for granted, and I just want you today, if you know this story, I don't want you taking it for granted. I want you to look at it with fresh eyes, all right? And we're going to talk about a guy named Daniel today and his 3 godly friends, and they show amazing spiritual courage and impacts a very challenging situation. Friends, Daniel worked for one of the most arrogant people that has ever lived on planet Earth, and you're thinking right now, I work for that guy, all right? No. He worked for somebody that was super, super arrogant. And if you track Daniel and his story, I think it'll kind of give you some insight on how you should operate in this culture. So if you got your Bible, go ahead and open up to Daniel chapter 1. We're going to start right there at Daniel chapter 1. And now Nebuchadnezzar was the greatest, most powerful monarch that Babylon ever had. In fact, he was ruthless in military strategy. He was politically brilliant. In fact, under his reign, you can see right here on the map on the screen, whether you're online or right here in the room, kind of where Babylon was growing. It was growing towards Europe, it was growing towards Asia, growing down to Africa. I mean, Babylon was huge, and it was just taking territory upon territory. In fact, it was basically essentially where right now Iraq is at. If you know where Iraq is at, essentially where the headquarters of Babylon was at. In fact, Saddam Hussein, if you remember him, called himself the new Nebuchadnezzar. And so Babylon's just gobbling up territory after territory. And one of those territories is Judah. And Judah had rebelled against God. And so God is using Babylon to punish Judah. And so Babylonians come in, they carry off the people in exile, they carry the most talented, the wisest people, the most beautiful women, and deport them off to Babylon to serve that country. And when this happened to Daniel, he was probably about 15 years old. Now Nebuchadnezzar's plan was to groom the brightest and the best, people like Daniel, and then have them serve in his personal staff. Daniel was one of those guys. And little did Nebuchadnezzar know that actually God was orchestrating all of this. And little did Nebuchadnezzar know that God was going to use Daniel to get a message that Nebuchadnezzar really needed to hear. Daniel had three close friends. They kind of formed a small group. They encouraged one another, prayed for one another, supported one another. And King Nebuchadnezzar was impressed with these guys. They had such high capacity, stood out. Now, let me remind you, these men were blessed as slaves in a foreign culture and a foreign country because they had the favor of the Lord on them. Babylonians lived, though, in a way that the people of God considered to be sinful. And they were foreigners in this culture, that just like a foreigner in our culture, right? And so as followers of Jesus, here's the reality, this world is not our home, amen? As the hymn used to say, this world's not our home, we're just a passing through. We have a home waiting for us in heaven. And while we're here, though, we want to have influence. And that's our prayer. That's my prayer for RCC. We have influence in this community and abroad while we're here in this temporary place, in this temporary time. We're not here very long, by the way. I know you feel like life goes very long time. No, life is very short. And so while we're here for the short time, for the short season called life, we want to have impact for the kingdom of God. And if you're a Christian, you're in transition right now. You're an alien. You're in exile, just like Daniel was. And if you want the favor of God while you're here, then you need to think about how to live without compromise in our culture where all the gravity is pulling us in the wrong direction, okay? So Daniel chapter 1, here's what happens. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of the court officials, to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and nobility. This is where he's talking about Daniel. Young men without physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and the literature of the Babylonians. Now, these boys came from the tribe of Judah, and the first thing king does is has a chief official rename them. So Daniel's name turns into Belteshazzar. Hananiah's name turns into Shadrach. Mishael turns into Meshach. And Azariah turns into Abednego. And I just want to say, if you're looking for names for a new baby, there are eight great choices right here. All right? This renaming thing was way bigger issue what you and I tend to think about. Every one of these references on the left, they're Jewish names. Is a reference to God. So when you see a name like Daniel or Mishael, that El means Elohim, that's a name for God. And when it says Hananiah or Azariah, that's another name for God, meaning Yahweh. In fact, Daniel's name means the Lord is my judge. And every time you heard his name, it's a reminder of who is calling the shots, who's the authority of the world. Well, the first thing the Babylonians do is try to distance these guys from their faith by changing their names and what they'll be called. It's kind of the Babylonian version of who's your daddy now, all right? And they're trying to lock these guys in a Babylonian culture. And these four men were special. I mean, these four boys were from high nobility, highly respected, wealthy families. All right, they had no physical defect. You're probably thinking, what did that look like? I'm thinking, it must have looked like our elders, like Roger and Bert and Jim and Tim, all right? Must have liked these four guys right here, all right? Very distinguished, brilliant minds, high aptitude, set for glory and success in Judah. And we're told about their upbringing so that we realize how much they lost. They lost so much. But I want you to hear me. Their faith remains incredibly strong. They lost so much, and yet they still love the Lord. They suffered so much, deportation to a foreign culture, demoted to slavery, dreams gone, yet they're still devoted to the Lord. We're told all this to realize how significant it is that they held on to their faith. Because I know people all over who have suffered nowhere close to this, and they don't go to church anymore. I mean, they just advocate on their faith. They're just coasting right now. You know why that is? Because they're not near spiritually strong. They're spiritually weak compared to these guys. And we can learn a lot from Daniel and his friends. So look at the first ethical decision and challenge they have to face. Right here in Daniel chapter 1, verse 5, it says, the king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. So they're being chosen to serve in Nebuchadnezzar's cabinet. And imagine the food and the wine served as a way for them to fit in. But look what happened in verse 8. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. He asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now we're going to see how God uses Daniel and his friend's godly character to set them apart, and it creates an environment of blessing for them and actually for Babylon. And the first step I want to see with Daniel is this about character, and that is create ethical boundaries in advance. These guys, you can mark this in your bulletin, these guys created ethical boundaries in advance. And man, people with godly character draw a line in their heart ahead of time before they wind up in Babylon. They draw lines of character in their hearts that they will not cross. And they make a decision to honor those deep convictions and deep values of Scripture no matter what they are going through. People like Daniel refuse to allow circumstances to mold their character. Hear me, character is this, that Daniel's character determines how he's going to respond to circumstances. He's going to call the shots, the character's going to call the shots, no matter what the circumstances he finds himself. Now, the text doesn't say why Daniel decided not to eat the food and drink the wine. Scholars believe it had something to do with idol worship, that food and that wine has something to do with idol worship, and he's like, I'm not compromising. I'm not having anything to do with idol worship. And so Daniel teaches us quite a bit. If you don't draw a line on the little issues of character, we probably will not have the capacity to draw a line on bigger tests that will inevitably come. Amen? Because bigger things are coming. Great thing about these guys is they don't view themselves as passive, helpless. They're not whining about the culture. These guys have been demoted. They have been deported. But they don't whine. Nope, they stand strong as men of God in the situation. They courageously resolve in their hearts that no matter what this world does to them, they're going to honor God, and they were not going to make excuses about it. This is huge, isn't it? Because when someone wants you to cross a line with regards to your taxes, someone from the opposite sex wants you to cross a line, right, and go across a boundary, you go, no, 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 that's not who I am. I'm not doing that. When I was in high school, I was dating a girl and her parents, so we were leaving somewhere, I think church or whatever, and her parents looked at us and said, y'all go on ahead. Y'all just go on ahead and we'll meet you at the house in a few hours. We're going to go do some shopping or whatever. And I looked at them, this is me, 17 years old. I looked at her parents, my girlfriend's parents, and said, I don't want to go to the house if you're not there. And they're like, what are you talking about? Looked at me like I had two heads or something. I said, it's kind of weird. I don't want to be alone with your daughter without you guys there. And you know, here's the thing. We got to set our character. We got to set all those decisions before we face what we're going to face. And I find in my life that that's rare, right? That's rare. And even among Christians, it's sad. It's amazing how healthy and encouraging relationships can be when they're pure. It's amazing how dysfunctional and unhealthy and spiraling hell a relationship can be when impurity starts to work its way in that dating relationship. I've seen where parents will drive their kids to church on the weekend and then raise their children to be Babylonians throughout the week. And what's sad is that parents often encourage their kids to be Babylonians. And what breaks my heart is hearing some parents who buy things like alcohol for their kids so their kids can have a party at the house. And they justify it by saying, well, they're going to do it anyway. And so they might as well do it at my house. And I'm like, really? Really? So instead of fighting the pagan culture that's going to destroy your kids, you're going to fund it. And what message does that send to the next generation? We need to be teaching our children how great and actually how liberating it is when you operate in the ways of the Lord and you're not ashamed about it. And so we need to be proactive by putting a line in our hearts and choosing to honor God in advance. It's never, I want you to hear me, it's never too late to start. I don't care what you've done. It's never too late to start. It's important that you have a deep value, you have deep convictions based on God's word that you will not compromise. Before that caring and loving and listening fantasy guy comes on at you at work, you better already have a line of commitment. I'm not going to cross. I'm going to stay loyal to my spouse. I'm going to stay loyal to my husband. I'm going to stay loyal to my wife at home. And before you find yourself in a crowd where there's gossiping and there's backstabbing behind people's backs and destroying people's reputation, it's important that you've already made a decision in advance. You know, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to do that. That doesn't honor them. It doesn't honor the Lord. And so Daniel and his friends make a decision in advance that I'm going to live a God-honoring life in every area, even the little things about what I eat and what I drink. And now we'll see what Daniel and his buddies are going to do next. If they're faithful in little ways, God blesses them in big ways. Look what happened. To these four young men, look at this, God's the one who's driving this, all right? God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions, and he could understand dreams of all kinds. And every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them. It's like Jeopardy, all right? Every time he Alec Trebek is giving them a question, man, they got the answer for it. God is giving them that knowledge. He found them to be, how many times, church? He found them to be, how many? 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in the whole kingdom. Now listen, I don't know what kind of situation, I don't know what kind of pressure is coming in on you right now, but I know this, if you don't draw a line of character in your heart before that temptation surfaces, I'm telling you, you have the risk, you're running the risk of being swept away by Babylon. Daniel and his friends were blessed because their character set them apart and they honored God in the little things. Now, if we stop the story here, it sounds like these godly young men, man, they lived like happily ever after. Well, you know what? Not really, because that's not reality. But before we move on, I want you to know something. This is big. Honoring God and little ethical decisions is usually rewarded by honoring and by God giving you opportunities to honor him and dramatic ethical decisions. When you honor him in little ways, he'll give you opportunities to honor him in big ways. Now, Nebuchadnezzar is like a train wreck, and if a train wreck, you know something about a train wreck, you can't help but watch. It's terrible, but you can't help but watch. You're like, what's this nut gonna do next? And I want you to know something. God loves Nebuchadnezzar. And so he sends Daniel to minister to him and warn him. And in chapter 2, God sends Nebuchadnezzar this weird dream that just totally whacks him up. You have your Bibles, you can go ahead and open up to chapter 2 in Daniel. And you'll see that Nebuchadnezzar wakes up from the dream. He's so disturbed. He goes to his wise men and he says to them, he says, hey, I want you to tell me what I dreamed and I want you to interpret it for me. And they said, how about you tell us the dream, and then we'll interpret it for you. And Neb's like, no, you tell me the dream, and then you interpret it. And the wise men are like, no one can do that. And he said, he just loses it. He's like, you guys are a bunch of phonies. You're taking advantage of me, and I'm going to kill every single one of you. And he means it. I mean, Nebuchadnezzar is ruthless. I mean, go back to when he took over Judah. The last king of Judah, what he did was he took the last king of Judah, got all of that king's sons in front of the king, all right, the king of Judah, put all his sons in front of him, and he killed every single one of him, every single son he had in front of the king of Judah. And then the last thing he did to the king of Judah was take his eyes out. He wanted the last thing the king of Judah saw was his line, all of his sons killed. This guy is ruthless, and he absolutely will kill all the wise men. And so he goes and gets the army, and he starts sweeping up all the wise men of Babylon to kill every single one of them. And he gets to Daniel. Daniel's a wise man. They come to arrest Daniel. Daniel's like, what's going on? They tell him the king had a dream. No one can interpret it. He wants to kill every wise man. And then Daniel's like, can I have a shot at talking to the king before you do this to me? And they said, absolutely. He goes before the king in chapter 2, in verse 27, Daniel says these words. He basically starts off by saying this to King Nebuchadnezzar. What you're asking, no man can do. And I'm thinking, I wouldn't have started with that. I would have started with something more hopeful, all right? But he says, no one can do what you're asking him to do, king, but there's a God in heaven who can. And he starts telling him about the dream. He starts saying, king, you dreamed of a massive statue, didn't you? And the king's like, I did. And he starts interpreting the dream for him. Look at this next graph right here on the screen. He starts saying, you had this huge dream, and I want you to know, king, that gold, that head of gold, that's you. And he dreamed about a chest. That's the Medes and the Persians who were coming behind you. And then, king, the bronze, that's the Greeks. And then, king, the legs, that's the Romans. And there's other interpretations for the toes and all that kind of stuff. And then in verse 35, he talks about this stone. The stone that was in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. The stone comes and knocks down the statue, and the stone gets larger and larger and larger and takes up the whole entire world. And we know about that stone. That stone represents the church. It's a prophecy about the church. The church is going to grow. God's going to establish his own kingdom. And we know this is true because we see it right now. Christianity is growing faster than it's ever grown. You know, Christianity right now worldwide is growing faster than the birth rate. You know, this is an interesting fact that I saw yesterday. You know, you're not going to believe this. You know there's less atheists now than there were in 1970? There's less atheists now than in 1970. In fact, they say that number is going to decline. Now, America might be a difference from most of the world, but I want to tell you right now, worldwide, Christianity, this prophecy is coming true. And Daniel tells the dream, and it wrecks. This prophecy wrecks Nebuchadnezzar. And so he all of a sudden we find that Nebuchadnezzar repents. He starts following the word of the Lord. And on top of that, he elevates Daniel to a place of huge responsibility in Babylon. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and look at chapter 3. We get to chapter 3 in our daily Bible reading, and we see one of the events that eventually led Nebuchadnezzar finally to God. Because Neb goes to God, but then he backslides. You ever backslid before? You ever made a commitment to God, and all of a sudden you're not following through with that commitment a year later? Has that ever happened to you? It happened to Nebuchadnezzar in a big way. It's nothing new. And all of a sudden, Nebuchadnezzar, I told you earlier, man, this guy had a huge ego. I'm talking massive. He thought this. Here's what he thought. I'm going to make a huge gold statue, 90 feet high, 9 feet wide, of myself. That's what he does. He makes a huge gold statue of himself, 90 feet high, 9 feet wide. And the goal was this. When the worship band, when the Nebuchadnezzar worship band, everybody's worshiping Nebuchadnezzar, hits, everyone's supposed to face a desert called Dura and bow down and worship the statue of me, is what he's saying. I think this is a wee bit narcissistic, don't you agree? I mean, this is just a wee bit over the top. Look what happens in verse 7. Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, I love this, the flute, the zither. Any zither players in the room? Any zither players? I'm like, you know, that's what we need for our worship team. We need a zither player. The lyre, the harp, all kinds of music. Look at this, all the peoples. Once again, his kingdom is expansive. It takes in all these people from all these different countries. So all these people from all these different nations and men of every language fell down and worshiped the image of gold that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Everyone's doing it except three guys. We don't know about Daniel's actually not in this story, but we know three guys didn't do it. We know Daniel didn't do it because he's not around. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't bow. There was an album that came out a number of years ago, actually a few decades. And for you guys who are underneath the age of 30 years old, let me tell you what the album is. The album is basically this big, long, like frisbee-looking thing. Black, you put on a record player. It's like a CD on steroids, just really big, right? And there's an album cover that came out years ago, and the album was called No Compromise by Keith Green. Anybody here have that album? Any real Christians in the room? Any real Christians? Okay. This album came out, and actually the artwork came from the story of Esther. And we're going to be studying that in a few weeks. But I want you to notice something. Everyone is bowing down except one person. That's the believer. That's the believer who oftentimes is standing by themselves. Very often we stand when everyone else is kneeling. Often we don't capitulate to the pressures of this world. And that's how Daniel and his three friends operated. That's a great view of what it must have been like. You see, Babylon, you don't have to mean it, you just got to bow. You don't have to believe it, you just got to obey. And Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego said no. It got them a whole bunch of trouble. Someone reports this to Nebuchadnezzar, these guys refused to bow when his worship band, you know, starts playing. He couldn't believe it. These slaves that he took from Judah that he promoted in his government won't do this. I mean, he's just dumbfounded. And once again, we're going to see what God does, because we need to understand this as people of God. People of God consistently obey God even as pressure increases. This is real RCC. Because as blessings increase, pressure increases. Blessing increase, temptation increases. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are called before the king. It doesn't surprise them. They're threatened with death. That doesn't surprise them. They're not shocked because the heat is going up in their faith. As they climb up the ladder at Babylon, they know they're going to get more heat. And once again, as blessing increases, so does adversity, so does temptation. And you know this is true. The more money you got, the more temptation you got. I mean, we live in a culture that has so many idols because we have so many resources. And because I've got so much money, I can go on these vacations and I can put my kids in all these different programs, which distracts us from being connected to a church family because I've got more distractions in my life. I mean, you have more authority. You got more temptation. I mean, I thought, you know what? I can do this whole senior pastor thing. It's got to be a piece of cake. You know, I can do it better than the other guys I work for. And I thought that until I became a senior pastor in Phoenix, and I realized how much more adversity, how much more temptation, how much more pressure there is when you have more responsibility. I believe in this: new level, new devil. New level, new devil. And we need to understand this. Godly people should not be surprised when the heat goes up, when they continue to obey the Lord. God blesses them. And I'm telling you right now, we should anticipate it. We should expect it. Our motivations, here it is. We all know the values are going one way, and culture's trying to get us to go a different direction. And we're in the exact same spot as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Our convictions, I want you to hear me. Our convictions are not based on how we feel, or our situation, or our opinions, or what the majority says, what the public opinion polls say. Our convictions are based on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That's where we get our convictions. Who claimed to be the way, the truth, and the light. And he backed it up with his life when he died on the cross and he rose up out of the grave on the third day. We're not narrow-minded. We're not intolerant when it comes to speaking the truth. It'd be hateful to withhold the truth from people. I mean, if you're with a group of people in a wilderness and you're lost with a whole bunch of people and they're trying to figure out where true north is and you got the compass and you don't say anything about it, that would be insane, right? Not to keep your mouth shut. You keep your mouth shut because you're fearful of sounding arrogant or intolerant. That's just insane. In fact, compassion and the need for survival demands that you speak up. Friends, there is a true north. It is revealed in the Word of God. Amen, church? Not culture, not what the movie stars say, not being politically correct. We go by God's standard. God's standards are established for us to have the most productive life possible. God's ways are wise. He protects us. His ways are much better than anything you or I or this world could ever invent. Well, Shadrach, Meshach are told on to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar wants to talk to him, because they won't play ball like everybody else. And he confronts these three guys, verse 14 of chapter 3. He's like, is this true? That you guys won't bow down when my worship band hits and they're worshiping my statue? I mean, I'm not saying you have to agree with this. I'm just saying bow down to it, all right? Just obey. You guys won't do this? And he says, I want to give you one more chance. And he says, if you do not worship it, he says, you will be thrown, look at this, immediately, he says in the scripture, immediately into the blazing furnace. Then he says this, then what God, all right, boys, what God is going to be able to rescue you from my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answer the king in one of the most amazing verses in all the scripture. Look what they say right here. I want you to pay attention to this. Verse 16. King Nebuchadnezzar, they say, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, look at this, church. Read with me. The what? God we serve is able. The God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But look at this. Look at this. He says this. Read with me. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods. We will not worship the image of gold you have set up, even if he does not. And that brings us to the next point when it comes to having the character of God in our lives. We need to courageously speak the truth in love. We need courageously to speak the truth in love. Notice these guys are not obnoxious. They're not ranting. They're not raving. They're not being disrespectful. They respectfully stood their ground before the king. Nothing drives me crazier than watching alleged Christians, man, say the most ungodly things, the most ungodly ways on social media or during political seasons, man. Christians can be so harsh and they can just sound so ungodly because of how confrontational and how unkind. And I want to tell you right now, it's embarrassing. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't do that. They modeled what Peter said. Peter said this in 1 Peter. He said, but in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. What does that mean? Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the answer for the hope, look at this, for the hope that we have. But how do we do it, church? But do this with, read it with me, gentleness and respect. We do it with gentleness and respect. And one thing I love about RCC is you're going to get both worlds. You're going to get love and you're going to get truth. We love the Word of God here. So much so, we're reading it through the whole year. We are never going to back off. We're never going to water down the Word. But we also love people. And we're not going to bash people. And we're not going to put people down. Just like Jesus, we're going to meet people right where they are and love them there. But also, we're going to remind them that God loves them too much to leave them that way. And God's truth is going to point them to Jesus Christ and operating in holiness and operating in his world and his perspective and his life. That's our goal. And that's what these three men do. They hold on to the truth, but they do it with respect and they do it with gentleness. And you need to know, when they told Nebuchadnezzar what they said to Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar didn't get saved. He got furious. Look what happened next. Look what it says. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them had changed. He respected them, and now he's embarrassed by them. He ordered the furnace heated, look at this, 7 times hotter than before. And he commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing fire. These big guys that tied them up, it's so hot, they get killed. These big burly soldiers are killed. And look at verse 24. Then Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement. He asked his advisors, weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw in the fire? And they replied, certainly, your majesty. He said, well, look, I see 4 men walking around the fire unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like the son of the gods. He didn't know what he was looking at. He was looking at a heavenly being who was ministering to these 3 guys. And then he gets close to the furnace, and then he just shouts out. Nebuchadnezzar shouts out, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, come out of the fire. And they saw that the fire, look at this, had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair on their head singed. Their robes were not scorched. There was not a single smell, not a single scent of fire on them. I'm like, that's amazing to me, because every time I'm around a fire, I smell like a fire for 3 days, all right? This is a miracle right here. This is like rising up from the dead kind of stuff. But here's what I want you to be left with today. People with godly character, listen, confidently trust God all the way to the end. They confidently trust God all the way to the end. They don't quit. They don't give up. They don't give in. They don't run away. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego kept it simple. And they said this, God, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to live in your truth. And I'm going to allow you to handle the fallout. And whatever the world wants to say, it can say. And wherever the world wants to go, it can go. But God, I want you to know, at the end, I know you're going to prevail. And so I'm going to be with you all the way for the rest of my days. And if you don't remember anything else from this, I want you to remember verse 18 of chapter 3. Many of you right now, you feel like you're getting pushed around by your Nebuchadnezzar. Maybe it's for you to cave in on a stance that you have built on the word of the Lord. Maybe it's for you to cave into a sin. Maybe right now it's for you to keep it quiet and keep your views to yourself and don't share the truth. Just kind of go along and just operate like the world. You know, you're a Christian, but you look like everybody else. I don't know what kind of ways you're getting bullied right now, but you've got Nebuchadnezzar. And I want you to say, verse 18, to your Nebuchadnezzar. So I want you to stand up right now. Everyone stand up, and we're going to read together those amazing words of chapter 3, verse 18, all right? So let's say them together. Read them with me. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. I want to encourage you right now. Maybe right now you need prayer. Maybe right now your faith is struggling. And here's what I want to encourage you with. That kind of faith is a beautiful thing. A faith-filled life. Look at this. A faith-filled life leads to a joy-filled confidence regardless of the circumstances of your life. And maybe right now you need a faith-filled life so that you can have joy. That faith just kind of pours into you and that joy radiates out of you no matter what circumstances you face right now. And maybe you need prayer in that area. I want to encourage you right now to fill out that connect card. What is it right now you need more faith in? Right now, what is that Nebuchadnezzar that's putting pressure on you? Maybe right now you need to give your life to Jesus Christ. You need to say, you know what? There's a better way to live. I want to live a life of purpose. I want to live a life about truth. I want to live a life that's built on hope in any circumstance. I want that. You can find that in Jesus Christ. And you want to give your life to Jesus. Why don't you go ahead and let us know on that card and accept him right now in this prayer. And if there's a way we can be a blessing to you, put it on that card, take it to the cross in this time of worship. But right now, let's pray together. Father God, we come before you, and Lord, we look at these guys, and Lord, we're amazed by their faith. We look at Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. And God, we look at them, we're just kind of in awe. But the reality is, God, we're in the same boat. We're getting pressure right now from the world to cave. And Lord, I'm praying that we can be voices of truth, but also voices of love. And Lord, in that, we bless you in the little ways, and we stand up for you in the little ways, Lord, you honor us in the big ways. And Lord, may we, at the end of our day, say, God, there's lots of ups and downs, but I stayed faithful to you all the way to the end. And Lord, right now I'm asking for those in this room that are hurting right now, maybe they're feeling pressure right now, or pray that they will reach out, allow us to pray for them, the people online, they know what to do, hit that request prayer button, and Lord, we'd be honored to pray for them this week. Our elders, our prayer team, Lord, our staff, Lord, just, Lord, move to the power of prayer right now in the areas where they need more faith, or the areas right now they need to stand against their Nebuchadnezzar. Lord, I pray right now for those who need to give their life to Jesus. Who need to say right now, Lord, I'm putting a flag in the ground and I'm professing to the whole world that I am not my own, that I am yours, and I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and now, for the first time in my life, Lord, I have nothing to fear. Because, Lord, I can take on any authority, I can take on any mountain, any challenge, and know, God, that you're with me, you've got my back. And Lord, may we confidently move forward, not by our power, but by your power through Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to receive that gift that comes by faith right now through Jesus. Lord, I pray for you to move. However the Spirit is convicting us right now, may we move and be obedient to it and live by faith and may you get all the glory. We pray this in the name of your son, Jesus, and the whole church said, amen. If there's any way we can be blessing you right now, encourage you once again, let us know. Move to the cross during this time. You guys online, hit the request prayer button. But right now, let's give God and allow him to say, God, you fight our battles for us. Go before us, Lord.
See my victory. When all I see is a mountain, you see a mountain move. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle and if you are for me, who can be against me? For Jesus, there's nothing impossible for you. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows. You win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. An almighty fortress. You go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. An almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand.
to challenge you with this, the next step of faith. I want to encourage you in your walk with God, and that is you need community. And so if you're not in a life group, go ahead and make that step right now. There's a life group section in our atrium. Go see them. They're waiting for you. We need to get a community around you, all right? And on top of that, if you've never been to Welcome RCC and you've been coming for a while, like, I don't know, 5 weeks or longer, you need to go to Welcome RCC. It's happening next Sunday at 10:30. Go ahead and put that in your calendar. It's the best next step you can do here at RCC if you haven't done that yet. And I want to encourage you with this. Let's be a blessing for our community this Christmas, and you can go out there and see Carmen. Go ahead and start singing those Christmas carols, all right, on your way to the table. And let's be a blessing in the name of Jesus this Christmas for our community. Hey, RCC, God is going before you. He's fighting your battles for you. Amen, church. Go be a blessing. We'll see you soon, all right? God bless.